this episode of Horrific History and Hauntings. I'm Beth.
And I'm Ramey. We're your hosts, here to talk about the stories that the history books ignore.
From horrific epidemics and ghostly hauntings to the catastrophes and tragic events that have sickened humanity.
What is today's episode, and do we have a...
We're not doing a Today in History today.
Oh. Yeah. I guess it was just too tragic to bring up.
We're doing a horrific hydro hellscapes, but we're only going to be talking about the mystery ghost ship, the Mary Celeste.
Oh, I like that movie, The Ghost Ship. And then the sci-fi version, like Ghost Cruise or something.
I think it's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Because this doesn't even have anything to do with ghosts.
Oh.
The mystery began when Captain Morehouse spotted the Mary Celeste, a ship he knew quite well, sailing in an out-of-control manner. He also knew the captain of the Mary Celeste quite well, Benjamin Spooner Briggs, and just before they had set sail, they had dinner together. Fearing that the crew was in trouble, Captain Morehouse spent 2 hours trying to get close enough to investigate. He had difficulty with this as the waters were still choppy after a storm, but eventually he got there. The two captains had been docked at neighboring piers in New York just a month prior. The Mary Celeste left for Italy on November 5, 1872. Morehouse followed 10 days later. He managed to catch up to the Mary Celeste floating aimlessly between the Azores and Portugal. No crew were found at the wheel or on deck.
I wonder if they all abandoned the ship because of the storm and then the ship survived and they didn't.
I think that's what happened. It's what it sounds like. Morehouse sent his first mate, Oliver DeVoe, and two others of his crew to investigate. Once on board, Oliver saw the sails were a wreck and found quite a bit of water between decks. He checked the pumps to find one was taken apart. Though the Mary Celeste was in rough shape, he determined that it was seaworthy and safe. Like, no chance it was sinking. So why everybody just abandoned it?
One pump's gone and we're panicking.
Yeah.
We're panicking enough to jump off of the ship in a storm.
Yeah. They searched more thoroughly but found no people dead nor alive. They were just gone.
They had poofed.
Mm-hmm. Most of the cargo was fine, though one alcohol barrel was open, because that was that part of the main cargo was alcohol.
What's happened.
They did notice that one lifeboat was missing.
They got tipsy, and the rough, choppy waters got them all stirred up, and then they just hopped on that their lifeboat, because their pump broke and died.
The railing was taken apart, which showed that the crew had hopped in the lifeboat and likely took off. The cabin was flooded. Water had poured in through the open skylight and the door. The beds and clothes were soaked, and the ship's clock was ruined by the water. They also noticed that the beds hadn't been made after being slept in. They found the starboard windows nailed up with planks. Up, not down. While the port windows were closed. But we don't know if that was done during the voyage, or if it was done before, or why it was done.
That is so weird, especially if there's a little rain. You got to shut it.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a vampire thing.
I don't know. All personal belongings were still exactly where they had been abandoned by their owners.
That makes it piracy less likely. I mean, your personal belongings and the cargo is still there.
Mm-hmm. The captain had his wife, Sarah Briggs, and their 2-year-old daughter, Sophia Matilda, on board the Mary Celeste with him during this voyage. Their 7-year-old son, Arthur, stayed behind with his grandparents in Massachusetts to continue with his schoolwork.
And inherit all the debt from this failed shipment.
Evidence suggested they abandoned the ship around mid-morning. This is because they found that the breakfast stuff had been put away. Like, they had ate, they had put it all away, they'd got it all cleaned up. But they still hadn't made the beds.
You know, they do that backwards. I would wake up, make the bed, and then go get my breakfast.
I know. I ain't doing anything until I've had some form of caffeine, possibly something to eat, and my 30-minute walk. I ain't doing nothing. The final entry in the logbook was November 25th. The Mary Celeste had traveled 500 more miles over 11 days, and it seemed to be traveling on the right course. The lack of updates in the logbook, though, doesn't necessarily mean that they abandoned the ship that particular day.
It just means that nothing important happened.
Well, back then, the logbook was considered not very important, so they didn't really keep up with daily entries in those days.
It's only important in the rare situation you find a ghost ship.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it wasn't surviving the water if it sank. It's not like a black box.
Yeah, unless you kept it
in a waxed seal.
Yeah.
Cake. then unpacked it to write in it and store it real quickly again.
Yeah. Or chiseled it in stone. Mm-hmm. The Mary Celeste was built in Nova Scotia in 1861 and was originally named the Amazon.
That's what happened. They changed the name.
I was going to say, I mentioned this because there is a superstition around the name changing of ships. It's said to cause the ship to be cursed and that the ship and crew will be plagued with bad luck.
It seemed to have been true.
Hmm. It seems that this ship in particular started off with problems long before the name change, though. The first captain died just 48 hours after the ship was registered. On its maiden voyage, it crashed into a fishing weir, I think is how that's pronounced. I had to look this up. I didn't know what it was. It's a big fish trap.
Uh-huh.
With the big fence,
okay,
type thing, yeah. If you look it up. Yeah. While being repaired for the damage that this caused, a fire broke out on board.
Just a bad luck.
Later in the Straits of Dover, it collided with another ship, causing that vessel to sink. And after going through three captains, a fourth ran the ship aground and wrecked it. All before it was changed, the name change.
Maybe this one needed its name change.
It was salvaged and passed through two or three different owners, one of which renamed it the Mary Celeste. Eventually, James H. Winchester bought the vessel and fully restored it and renovated it, and then added some things on as well.
Probably not window props.
When he was done, the Mary Celeste was considered to be in excellent condition. In September 1872, as the ship was being loaded with its cargo, Sarah Briggs wrote to her relatives, mentioning the cargo of about 1,700 red oak barrels of industrial alcohol. She joked that the noise below deck was going to drive her crazy, and described the barrels thumping, bumping, screeching, and growling.
Are you sure you're talking about barrels?
That's the noises she heard, particularly the screeching and growling, were likely caused by the alcohol sweating, meaning it was expanding or leaking fumes inside the barrels.
The angel share.
Yes, and I think they were leaving from somewhere cold and going somewhere warm.
So it happened more.
So yeah. It was probably more likely to be that. Captain Morehouse decided to salvage the abandoned ship. Oliver and two crewmen boarded the Mary Celeste again with supplies and set sail 2 days later. They traveled together until a storm separated them near the Straits of Gibraltar.
Gibraltar.
Gibraltar. I don't know where that is, but I'm assuming it's somewhere in England.
It's, yeah.
Because eventually they end up in England. The De Gracia. It's the name of the ship that Morehouse was manning. Arrived on December 12th. The Mary Celeste arrived the morning after. Salvage claims are usually pretty simple because abandoned ships are typically wrecked and in terrible condition.
People going to fight for a nice ship.
Yeah. The Mary Celeste was seaworthy with no clear reason for abandonment. So, because she was in such good condition and carried around $30,000 worth of cargo, authorities began to suspect that
piracy.
The crew of under Morehouse and Morehouse was a part of piracy, meaning they assumed that they killed everybody on board the Mary Celeste. And
it does seem unusual.
And decided to salvage it.
You have to think that they he got to know these people for like a few days at port and like, oh, this might be an easy mark. Of course, he set sail so much later than them. What are the odds that they
would catch up?
Yeah.
Suspicious brown stains were found on the deck and on a sword under the captain's bed. Captain Morehouse denied cleaning the ship to hide similar stains when questioned about this. The accuser, whose name was Flood, refused to reveal the analysis results of these stains. He even refused to show the report to his own government.
Then who cares what he says?
Which means it probably was not blood and he just didn't want to admit he was wrong.
Yeah, who cares what he says? He's not cooperative.
Yeah. Morehouse and his crew were eventually cleared of the suspicion because there was simply no evidence linking them to piracy or the crew's disappearance. However, they still had no idea what happened to the crew or why they abandoned the ship.
Yeah.
Winchester, the ship's owner, traveled from the U.S., and was faced with intense interrogation about his ship and crew. And he eventually got pissed off about that and said, I'm a Yankee, something along these lines. I'm a Yankee with English blood, but if I knew where it was, I'd cut the vein to let it out.
This bureaucracy is ridiculous.
In March 1873, the court awarded the crew 1/5 of the value, but admitted they couldn't explain why the ship was abandoned.
Yeah.
Winchester reclaimed the Mary Celeste, delivered the cargo to Genoa, where Genoa. It was headed. Genoa.
You know, I'm Papizia from Genoa.
Genoa.
You've heard of it.
Genoa. But now I think Genova. Genova.
Oh.
The Princess Diaries. Immediately sold the ship when he returned to New York.
Yeah. Get rid of that thing. I wonder if he got more than his 1/5 he had to pay to get it back.
The vessel changed owners frequently afterward, and they struggled to find crews due to the unlucky reputation it had gotten from this.
Did they change the name again?
No.
Really? Looks like they'd get rid of the reputation.
No, they didn't change the name. They just couldn't find a crew willing to stick with it or sign up for it. And this obviously...
Was not profitable, no.
In 1884, the ship's owner and captain, Gilman C. Parker, wrecked the ship on a reef in the West Indies. He did it on purpose in hopes of receiving money from the insurance. His plan failed because the insurance companies realized this and took him and his crew to trial.
Who told? Somebody had to have told.
He received no profit.
Somebody on that crew was so angry they weren't getting a bigger portion of this a payout.
At the trial, the jury hesitated because the penalty for the wrecking of a ship at sea was death by hanging at the time. And they knew of the ship's unlucky reputation, so they were hesitant to send these people to their death in case, you know, there was
some sort of witchcraft.
In case it was the curse, I guess.
Can you imagine having such a treacherous ship?
The crew was freed on a technicality. However, the bad luck continued. Within 8 months, Parker, the captain, died. One of his associates went mad, and another one committed suicide.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonder what caused all this. I mean, it's just bad luck. They're sailors.
Well, they also had medicines with heavy metals in them.
Yeah, so your depression gives you a prescription for mercury or something. So. Yeah.
Now let's look into some theories explaining the sudden and panicked abandonment of the Mary Celeste. One explanation, supported by Captain Morehouse and Captain Briggs' brother, suggests that the ship was stuck after the storm and began drifting up towards dangerous rocks off of Santa Maria Island. So they were afraid they would crash, and the crew evacuated on the small lifeboat. However, the wind likely returned during the afternoon as they were trailing along beside the ship and blew the Mary Celeste away farther and faster than they could row back to her.
Oh, no. You should have tied yourselves off.
Yeah.
Just carried a knife to cut the rope.
And then their small boat must have been swamped by the rough seas during the afternoon storm that followed. A second theory was that the water trapped between the decks may have created the illusion of a leak in the ship. And if a crew member sounded the pumps and misread the depth, which would explain why the pump was taken apart, they likely raised a false alarm that the ship was sinking, causing everyone to panic and unnecessarily abandon the ship.
It makes you feel foolish as you sit there and watch the ship sail off slowly in the distance.
Yeah. The final theory was suggested by Winchester, the ship's owner at the time. He focused on the cargo, crude oil, or alcohol, not oil. I'm used to hearing crude oil. Captain Briggs had never sailed with crude oil, alcohol, before.
Mm-hmm.
So he was inexperienced when it came to that. He didn't know anything about it. As the ship moved into warmer climates, the alcohol likely expanded, creating fumes, loud rumbling sounds, and enough pressure to blow off a hatch cover.
He thought he was in a hot ship.
I think he thought it was going to explode, in this particular theory.
Let out the fumes by propping the windows open.
Yeah. Fearing an explosion, especially with his wife and daughter on board, he probably ordered everyone into the lifeboat, thinking they'd travel safely near the ship, and then the afternoon storm hit. The tow line snapped, leaving them stranded in a small boat that couldn't survive waves and winds of the storm. There's a lot of other theories and fictional things that some authors came up with to make their books sell better. From what I read I actually got this from one of those books from the old bookshops at Chincoteague, one of them.
Oh, and I like those old bookshops.
It was published in the 90s, but no, I didn't include the more crazy theories that are less likely to be true.
Good. The whimsical ones. We don't want to give those people any credit on our history and horrific hauntings podcast.
I mean, I'm sure they were fine, but I didn't want to go that much into it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Especially considering it was made clear they're not likely to have
actually been true.
Yeah. It was just a lot of them wanted to sell their books more.
The good ghost stories do that.
Yep.
This is a bizarre situation.
I've seen some YouTube videos that go way into it and say that there was multiple times the crews went missing.
They might be telling the truth.
It wasn't in the book, and that's where I got this information.
What book was it?
I'm going to let you have it once I'm done with it. It's The Mysteries, The Greatest, something about Greatest Mysteries. I don't know.
The Sea's Greatest Mysteries?
No, it's not even just about seas. It's like Stonehenge, UFOs.
Oh, like The Greatest Mysteries of Earth or something like that.
There's some deep sea creatures.
Okay.
The Great Floods. You know how each religion, pretty much all of them have
floods.
A great flood yeah. of some sort. Atlantis.
The great religion, yeah, Atlantean.
It's a little bit of, yeah, it's a bunch of great mysteries that they've piled into one book.
Okay. Unsolved Mystery, the novel.
Yeah. And I just happened to see this, and it was scheduled to do a horrific hydro hellscape. So I was like, you know what? We'll just do that one. And that's it.
We found out that I'm going to be an uncle to a little girl named Willa Rose.
Possibly.
Kathy really likes that one.
We've narrowed it down to five, and they're pretty much the same names, just different first and middle.
Yeah, Willa Rose.
Scarlet Rose.
Scarlet Rose.
Scarlet Willow.
Rose Tyler. And
no, we're not naming it right. No, I do. So I have to admit, Rose did somewhat come from her.
Rose Red.
We're not naming her Rose Red after a cursed mansion that kills its relatives. Or its owners.
If you want to find more of our stuff, look at our link tree link in the description. There should be a Shopify link for our little store. We have 3D printed stuff. We have another bunch of YouTube channels in there now, like 3D printing and crafting and cricketing. And what else? We have a few gaming channels. We have a gaming channel, a few things. We also have TikTok, like I said. Find us all that stuff there. There's a baby registry. If there's anything that's themed towards a girl, I guess you could pick that one out now because we didn't know for a long time.
I didn't have anything themed to any gender because I didn't know when I put it together.
And appreciate all the support. There's also a link to donate if you want, but you can also use those shops and things to help us out. However you want to do it. It helps keep the podcast hosted. Thank you for listening. I've been Ramey.
And I'm Beth.
It's been HH&H. Bye-bye.